WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. A new year means new laws, at least 293 of them in Illinois, to be exact. There are changes to the minimum wage, to what qualifies as workplace discrimination, even changes to state identification, and the list goes on and on. For more on what you need to know, we turn to WBEZ State House reporter Mawa Iqbal. I asked her about the laws that changed around minimum wage. Here's Mawa.
Yeah, so the minimum wage is going to go up to $15 per hour. So for tipped workers, that would be $9. And for youth under 18, that'd be $13 per hour. So this is the seventh and final increase in the state's minimum wage. That was part of this bill signed into law by Governor Pritzker in 2019, which basically created a schedule of increases resulting in the $15 per hour minimum wage in 2025. We're here at that point now, and it's interesting to note that the federal minimum wage is still at $7.25 an hour, which it has been that way since 2009. So this puts Illinois at more than double the federal minimum wage.
And that increase is from $14 to $15, right?
Yes.
A dollar increase. Okay. Do you think that Illinois raising its minimum wage will have any kind of impact on the federal?
You know, it's interesting because there's definitely been a lot of push to change the federal standard. I know just like with the federal lawmakers from Illinois, they've been advocating for trying to raise that federal minimum wage. But it's tough to say because, you know, there are multiple states in the country that are now way surpassed the $7.25 federal wage. So we'll see what happens. I mean, now, of course, you have a new administration that's coming into the Capitol. So I guess we'll see.
Well, there's also some new requirements around pay transparency. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's one bill that's going into effect that would require employers with 15 or more employees to include the pay scale and benefits of any job posting. And if companies withhold that information, or if third-party sites, job sites withhold that information, then they'll actually be held liable. And this is actually an amendment to the Equal Pay Act of 2003, which basically prohibits employers from paying unequal wages to men and women who are doing the same or substantially similar work. And so I imagine that this is pretty much a continuation of just making sure there's accountability and pay transparency now at the front end when people are trying to get a job. So just making sure that people are given as much information as possible, and also in a way holding the employer accountable, you know, when they're receiving their first paycheck.
Around 10 states have this type of requirement. Who do lawmakers hope it will benefit?
Yeah, certainly the workers, or I guess potential workers in this situation. You know, like I mentioned, there's certainly an accountability piece here, right? So like if, you know, you're a worker and you're applying for a job and you can see, okay, this is the pay scale, this is what I'm expected to get paid. Then if you get hired and you get your first paycheck and it's not in that pay scale, then that's obviously something that you can, you know, hold your employer accountable to.
Another new law, employers discriminating or harassing employees based on their family responsibilities is now a civil rights violation. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, so pretty much if you're caring for a family member, whether they're elder or younger or someone with mental, physical, or developmental disabilities, then, you know, employers discriminating, basically, you know, trying to, it could be anywhere from offering, you know, less pay or not allowing you time off, paid time off, then that can now be considered a civil rights violation, and the employer can be held liable in a court of law. There's also a law that would also protect people who have made certain decisions around the reproductive health from being discriminated against. So this is an amendment to the Human Rights Act of Illinois. And basically, you know, another continuation of just trying to protect people's access around reproductive rights. Of course, we know Illinois is a majority blue state. And so over the past few years, they've been passing numerous laws around reproductive rights and access. And so this was just another step that Democratic lawmakers felt was necessary to codify a protection in case some employers were to discriminate against their employees for receiving an abortion or seeking out abortion care.
Mawa, are there any other new rules or regulations related to the workplace that stick out to you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's one called the Worker Freedom of Speech Act, which definitely received a lot of controversy in Springfield. Essentially, it would safeguard employees from facing negative consequences or discrimination for essentially standing up against actions that go against their religious or political beliefs. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're working at a place and your employer is requiring you, mandating you that you, you know, sit in a meeting about a religious topic or a political topic that goes against your beliefs, then if you refuse to sit in on that meeting, the workplace can't discriminate against you or retaliate against you. And so, yeah, this one received a considerable pushback from Illinois business and corporation lobby groups like the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, and as well as anti-abortion access groups like the Illinois Right to Life. They came out in full force in Springfield to testify against this bill. But of course, the trade and labor unions were very much in favor, saying that, you know, this is just another way to safeguard workers, no matter what their political, religious beliefs are.
Well, let's turn to health, because there are a lot of new rules on the books that could affect people's health, including several that relate to healthcare coverage. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so one of the big, I would say, sort of initiatives that was spearheaded by Governor J.B. Pritzker and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton was healthcare policy. And so for Pritzker, you know, he passed this landmark sort of package of bills called the Healthcare Consumer Protection. So it's pretty much banning things like short-term limited duration health insurance plans, banning step therapy, making sure that if you are using a health insurance plan and there's, you know, network adequacy, so eliminating what he called ghost networks, and just like kind of raising the standards for the type of care that insurance policies are now required to provide. Another thing that, you know, that Juliana Stratton had made one of her initiatives was the Birth Equity Act, which basically pertains to requiring insurance companies to cover services of doulas and midwives. And so the thinking behind that was, you know, a lot of communities, particularly Black communities, will use doulas, midwives, or more community-centered health centers. And so requiring insurance companies to cover these services will then ultimately, ideally, increase access for people to some of these health services that they feel more comfortable using and that are more like easier for them to access. So that was a really big landmark bill. There was also another one that would require insurance companies to not deny coverage for life-saving inhalers. And they established a cap of $25 for a 30-day inhaler supply. There's also requiring insurance and Medicaid to cover genetic cancer screening and testing for high-risk patients, as well as requiring Companies Illinois to provide health insurance to cover prostate cancer screenings and cervical smears for insured individuals, regardless of their gender. That this was an initiative from Senator Mike Simmons just to I guess, you know, increase gender equity and ensure that no one would be discriminated on based on their gender or their sex assigned at birth.
You know, Mama, sometimes we get a new law that makes you think, wait, that was allowed? Case in point, starting this year, corporal and physical punishment will be banned in Illinois schools.
Yes, yeah. So I remember when the bill was going through the legislature and this was one of those, I had a moment like that where I was like, oh, I thought that was already already on the books. But yeah, certainly that this law would essentially make sure that all non-public schools will also ban the use of corporal punishment. So this could be anything from like slapping to using a cane on children. But they do make an exception to physical restraints. So children who might present a harm to themselves or others may still be subject to physical restraints. That could be, you know, like a teacher physically restraining a child or putting a child into what's called an isolation room. So there's still some exceptions, but definitely this also got some pushback from some Republican lawmakers who felt that this was an example of the state sort of trampling on or trying to impede on the rights of parochial schools.
Wow. Well, schools will now be allowed to offer something that's called relaxation techniques to students for 20 minutes a week. What does that mean?
So this is pretty much kind of like what it sounds. It's, you know, these activities can be anything from like mindfulness yoga to meditation, stretching, breathing exercises. And the idea is that, you know, that this is a way for children to kind of have a sort of break from like school, basically just like within the school, you know, like within the school day, you just have like a quick moment to breathe. And, you know, lawmakers who are proposing this cited studies that showed that students who have this 20 minute or however long the duration is, just a break of relaxation, of mindfulness can actually improve their academic performance. And so it sounds really nice. And it's definitely something that I wish I had growing up. But,
you know, my daughter's preschool, it was home-based. They had a relaxation room. So if a kid was maybe having a tantrum or acting up, they could go into this room that had like a waterfall and just they could read by themselves or just do what they wanted to do. So it sounds a little bit like this to me. We all could have used that growing up.
Oh, yes. Well, and, you know, going back to what we were talking about with the child restraint, I think, you know, a lot of the lawmakers who are proposing this bill were talking about how it's a great way to just like promote de-escalation tactics as well. So like instead of having to resort to something as extreme as physically restraining a child or putting them in an isolation room, this can be like maybe a first step, right? So like having them breathe, having them take a walk, you know, to just other tools that don't have to result in the extreme.
And there's some other laws related to schools and minors that I think are seen to protect them. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, one of the big ones was a massive sort of overhaul of Illinois' child labor laws, which basically set the minimum working standards for children age 15 and younger and limited the number of hours children can legally work. And also like updating the list of jobs that minors can't hold. That this kind of comes, then the previous spring session, there was a law that went into effect that basically set guidelines and parameters for child influencers and the pay that they're entitled to versus the pay their parents are entitled to. So it's kind of like, you know, this world of like child working, minors working, and social media. It's a very ever evolving, kind of rapidly changing world. And a lot of lawmakers are saying we have to now attempt to keep up with this fast, rapid pace change with our laws. And so another one too that is important to mention is there's a bill that's or a law that's going into effect that would add images created by AI, artificial intelligence, to laws that ban child pornography. As we've probably seen, you know, with like election time especially, AI technology is getting a lot smarter. And so unfortunately, in the realm of pornography and particularly child pornography, that does mean that AI softwares can manipulate images to create child pornography. And so this law would just add images created by AI to the types of media that's banned under the child pornography laws. And then there's also another law pertaining to e-cigarettes, where basically e-cigarettes can no longer be ordered or purchased online by people, individuals under the age of 21. So definitely a lot of different laws going into effect, just all with the, I guess, mission of trying to sort of clamp down on some of these new changing technologies and products that are coming out.
Okay, here's one specific to anyone who's had to do an airport pickup at O'Hare.
Yeah, so the drivers will be prohibited from stopping or parking their vehicles on shoulders of highways within half a mile radius of the eastern entrance to Chicago's O'Hare Airport. I laugh because my family is certainly guilty of doing that. You know, it's whenever we go to O'Hare, we definitely see, right, that there's all these cars parked on the shoulder. Yep. Because when you try to pick up your loved one or whoever from the actual terminal area, it's just so crowded and there's all this traffic. So, yeah, I'm very, very fascinated to see how enforcement rollout will look like with this one.
Right. And here's another one that a lot of people can relate to. Businesses now have to alert customers about some automatic renewals.
Yeah, so now they'll be required to notify customers at least 3 days before an automatic renewal that goes into effect after a free trial of 15 days or more. I certainly am someone who forgets about all the different free trials I've signed up for, so this will definitely help me and hopefully a lot of other people as well. And something else that's kind of similar that is also going to affect for people who have gym memberships, they can now be canceled online or via email if those options were used to join the contract. So you'll no longer have to go in person to cancel, which will be hopefully easier for a lot of people.
We did not cover all 293 laws, but we covered a lot of important ones. But before we let you go, Mawa, lawmakers are actually back in Springfield starting today for what's known as the lame duck session. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, so, you know, talking to several lawmakers and Democratic leaders and Governor Pritzker himself, right, I think what's top of mind for a lot of Democratic lawmakers specifically is just, you know, what's going to happen under a new Trump administration, right? So Governor Pritzker has convened this, like, coalition of governors from across the country to just sort of talk about, like, ways they can preserve state-level Democratic institutions. And obviously right now it's tough to say, and that's all I've been able to get from these elected officials on, like, what specifically they're looking at. But I know as far as large topics, they're thinking about immigration. That's probably their number one pressing issue, mainly because Trump has come out and said that he would withhold federal funding to cities that are known as sanctuary cities for undocumented immigrants. So just trying to safeguard undocumented immigrants and their rights in Illinois is a top priority. Trying to address any scaling back of environmental regulations, labor laws, ensuring that Illinois stays a haven, as some reproductive rights advocates call it, for abortion access. So definitely just, it's kind of like reacting to what Trump will do and has talked about doing. But another thing that's not Trump related that is certainly on everyone's mind going back to Springfield is this budget deficit. So we have a projected state budget deficit for the fiscal year 2026 of $3 billion. Which is a lot of money. And so I will be really interested in seeing how lawmakers come up with other revenue streams. Maybe they propose tax hikes, tax increases on certain things. So yeah, that's something I'll definitely be watching for as well.
Thanks so much, Mawa, for all these updates. We've been talking to WBEZ State House reporter Mawa Iqbal.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced, edited, and mixed by Linnea Dominic and Dan Tucker. Reset brings you conversations to keep you in the know about what's happening in Chicago and beyond. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you never miss a conversation, or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Natalie Moore, and for Sasha Ann Simons, we'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely